Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. This is an anonymous email. I know him, but asked that the name doesn't get read on air. But we have a police officer who is leaving the force, says he doesn't feel his department will have his back, and it's just too dangerous. He can't approach any traffic stop without being concerned that he could be killed. And, you know, this is unfortunately, something that has been kind of pervading for decades now, but has really come to a head over the last few years in terms of the approach to stops, traffic stops, the approach to people being shot and killed as they resist arrest or by accident. And it's an absolute mess when it comes to, you know, people dying and defunding the police and police not having enough resources and, you know, people dying if they, you know, were just pulled over for a more mild infraction. And one of you had asked in a different email, do doctors have to resign when they kill somebody? And that's a good question. Do doctors resign if they kill somebody? Well, here's the thing. If we kill somebody, if we use our training and we've done everything possible to save that person and that person dies, and there was no negligence, there was no malpractice. I mean, you know, people, unfortunately, when you're in medicine, you deal with people that die. You have people with arrhythmias, heart disease, etc. If you, however, gave the wrong medication, if you, I don't know, nicked a vessel that didn't have to be cut, causing somebody to die in surgery when they didn't necessarily, you know, need an operation in that part of the body, then there will be evaluations by the and investigations by the medical board, malpractice cases, liability, hospital privileges evaluated if it really was an accident and a risk that happens, or if there was such severe negligence that you killed somebody, you didn't perform proper care. If you came to work drunk, if you came to work drugged, and you hurt somebody as a result, you're losing your license, maybe even brought up on charges. So with physicians, if there is at all any intent, rare that would happen, but if there's intent, a doctor could be brought up on manslaughter charges, murder charges, just like anybody else. But if there's a risk factor, if there's a risk that could happen in surgery, you know, you're trying to deal with a blood clot that went to the brain, and you're doing the best you can trying to save the person, you know, and unfortunately, the person ends up not surviving the surgery, that's not somebody killing somebody. That's a unfortunate, you know, consequence of undergoing a risky surgery. Now, we had a family member on my husband's side that was intubated down the wrong tube. This was years ago, before they have all these checks and balances. And the anesthesiologist literally killed the patient. That killed the family member because they didn't put the breathing tube into the lungs. Went into the esophagus. Person never got oxygen. Ended up dying. Now, this was in the olden days when, you know, we didn't have all the new fancy schmancy sort of tech to kind of tell us that, you know, we've intubated incorrectly. But, you know, that is a case of, yeah, you know, the doctor did wrong. The doctor killed somebody. So, you know, I want to talk more to, you know, people in the police department to find out, you know, where the approach is going to next. Because, you know, I watch many of these videos. And what happened, horribly tragic, what happened with Dante Wright. In fact, the police chief and the officer who fatally shot Dante Wright have resigned. She had thought she was reaching for a taser, or she thought she had a taser, and in the chaos shot him. He ended up driving a few more blocks and dying as a result of the shot. But, you know, we're having these tragic incidences that happen. And as I discussed yesterday, you know, whenever you see something go wrong, you want to find where there could be an intervention, where there could be an improvement. And it appears that many of these cases are when there's unfortunate chaos and, you know, resisting arrest or you know, running or a fight, you know, or sometimes, like, you know, like we saw with the Capitol riots, a officer just shot. Just fire their weapon. And again, I think chaos is an underlying theme that we see. And so when people say, well, you know, the police need to be trained more, it's tricky, because I'm hearing from police officers saying, look, we have our training. If somebody's not putting their hands on the dash, if somebody's not showing you their hands and we think they're going to shoot, I forget that gentleman who was in the, I believe it was the Wendy's parking lot. He turns to the cops and aims, I believe it was like a laser pointer, or aims a taser at the cops. The cops can't tell in the dark what he's aiming. Looked like a gun, and they shot him. And so how do you train for somebody who is appearing to use, you know, force, or, you know, looking like they're trying to shoot you? And Dante Wright, what is the training if somebody is trying to resist arrest? They start being handcuffed, and then they decide to run forward and go for it. What are you allowed to do? Do you shoot the tires? Do you chase them down and try to put those spikes in the road? There's obviously protocols that are going to be reevaluated, but we are having police hemorrhage, leaving the system. And I don't know what the answer is to that, because I really don't see many officers want to take that risk of, you know, possibly putting their lives on the line if they could not only be fired, but, you know, be put up on charges, or if an accident like that could happen where somebody gets killed. 1-877-DOCTOR-DELLY, don't go away.
Guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So the prosecution in the Derek Chauvin trial, in the death of George Floyd, had finished with the last of their witnesses, I believe, yesterday, as a cardiologist had testified. And Dr. Jonathan Rich, who was retained by the prosecution as a heart expert, said that George Floyd had absolutely, quote, no evidence of a negative heart condition. He said every indicator is that Mr. Floyd actually had an exceptionally strong heart. Now, this is a cardiologist from Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Now, as we remember, May 25th, 2020, Derek Chauvin, the police officer, had held George Floyd down in prone position face down on the street with a knee to his neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. Released when the paramedics came. Again, a lot of debate as to why, what was going on, what was happening, why was that necessary. George Floyd, you see, stopped breathing while he was still on the ground under the knee. And there, the defense has or is starting to, as they are starting to now bring their witnesses, want to explain that he had medical conditions based on his methamphetamine, based on his narcotic use, and so he had a heart condition, and the heart condition just happened to play a role that day. Now, Chauvin has been charged with second or third degree murder as well as second degree manslaughter. If he's convicted of second degree murder, they say he could face 11 to 15 years in prison. But Chauvin's attorney, Eric Nelson, argued that Chauvin's actions did not cause the death of George Floyd. He said, as Nelson has claimed, factors contributed to Floyd's death, including heart disease, high blood pressure, and drug use. That's going to make the difference of Chauvin only getting manslaughter. I don't believe he would be acquitted. There's a chance he's going to get manslaughter, but the difference between manslaughter and murder charges, depending on how much they could show, there were other contributing factors. But now, the cardiologist for the prosecution said he saw no evidence that Floyd died to a pre-existing heart condition or from an overdose of fentanyl or methamphetamine. Now, those were two substances that were present in his system. He said, I could state with a high degree of medical certainty that George Floyd did not die from a primary cardiac event, and he did not die from a drug overdose. Now, he has agreed with other doctors in the trial that George Floyd died of asphyxia, not getting enough oxygen. So, he died from cardiopulmonary arrest caused by low oxygen levels as opposed to a bad heart. He said those low oxygen levels were induced by the prone restraint and positional asphyxiation that he was subjected to. And he believes that George Floyd's death was absolutely preventable. Now, Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo testified that during the trial that the officers received basic first aid training that includes chest compressions and how to administer Narcan, a medication designed to rapidly reverse opioid overdose, but neither Chauvin nor the other three officers involved in Floyd's arrest rendered any medical aid at the scene. He said officers need to provide medical care for a person that is distressed, and that is one of the keys that I think is going to solidify, at the very least, a manslaughter charge for Chauvin, because even if they are able to prove that there were other medical conditions contributing to George Floyd's death, once he stopped breathing, the question of what were the police officers supposed to do, you're supposed to provide some sort of basic life support until paramedics come. And that wasn't done. And that's where the manslaughter charge, at the very least, would possibly be awarded. Or inflicted. So, according to Minneapolis Police Lieutenant Richard Zimmerman, he said, even if an ambulance has already been called, officers need to provide medical care for a person that is in distress. Now, you did see one of the other officers, per his camera, look in a medical bag. You saw him kind of look around, look in some pockets. Maybe he was looking for Narcan originally, maybe not. But then you saw him kind of abort that decision or that move. Maybe he didn't have anything, but you did see on one body cam them looking through a medical bag. But we don't see the other footage of what later happened. Now, as the defense starts to open their case, they have begun by showing a previous video of George Floyd, quote-unquote, feigning a medical condition. And so there's a video of George Floyd telling a police officer back in 2019, I don't want to be shot. This is during an arrest in May 2019. And it was shown during the murder trial today. The defense has been trying to convey that he had a history of feigning medical distress and swallowing drugs when confronted by cops. Now, the video showed that he was pulled over in the passenger side. Officer said, put your hands on the dash, and there was movement, officers yelling, screaming. But this is in 2019. The officer showed restraint, didn't shoot him. Eventually, George Floyd does put his hands on the dash, so you wonder, what's complicating this? Why aren't directions being followed. Well, if somebody could be under the influence of drugs, then, you know, that this is what the police are facing when they pull somebody over. It's not as simple as freeze, and people don't freeze. Unfortunately, if somebody's in drugs or somebody might be, you know, trying to get a weapon readied, the police officers don't know. And fortunately, in 2019, the officer was able to visualize enough to not believe his life was in danger and didn't fire his weapon. George Floyd finally put his hands on the dash, and then they were able to take George Floyd out of the car. But Nelson, the attorney, had argued that the footage showed Floyd's, quote, modus operandi when approached, or modus operandi, which was, I think, I think that's Latin for, you know, like a dramatic display that was very similar to what he displayed May 25th. Now, you know, this is apparently he was incoherent at the time. And I mean, we know he had struggled with drugs, and it's a shame because, you know, when you start to be Monday morning quarterback and you look back and you go, oh gosh, you know, this is, you know, this is unfortunately, you know, somebody who could, you know, very easily get mistaken for not following orders and possibly putting somebody's life at risk. And so, you know, he didn't want to get shot, and he was aware of that. He was aware that he could have gotten shot, but for some reason he wasn't coherent enough to follow police orders. But he was being able to pull out of the car and arrested at the time. Now, retired paramedic Michelle Mossing was up next, and the defense attorney drew out parallels between the May 6, 2019 and what took place on May 25th. And the, you know, looking at the old footage, though, of this, I don't know if that would help the defense or not, because I thought the defense was going to rely, unless they had to change course because of the prosecutory retainment of cardiologists and all these medical experts, I thought the defense was going to approach it as, look, his medical event started before Chauvin used his knee. So the medical event happened before. But instead, they're saying, but he's feigned medical events, so they thought he was faking. If that's the defense they're going to use, it's not going to work. Because just because he faked a medical event, maybe in May 6, 2019, doesn't mean somebody's faking again May 25th. It doesn't mean the same officers are there. The boy who cried wolf, unfortunately, wouldn't work in that case. So I was kind of surprised that the defense is going that route. Now, Masang said, the paramedics said Floyd was agitated and upset, and told her that he had been taking 7 to 9 opioids, Oxy and Percocet, every 20 minutes throughout the day, and then another just before the officer approached the car. When asked for details of her physical assessment of Floyd, she revealed that she recorded a blood pressure of 216 over 160, so high that she recommended he be taken to the hospital. And Floyd had told her he had not been taking his blood pressure medication for months. Now, if his blood pressure was 216 over 160, despite all those narcotics, you know his blood pressure was really, really high. If he was to die of a blood pressure like that, many times it would be a hemorrhagic stroke. That was not seen on autopsy. So he had, at the time, been taken to the hospital for that. So, you know, as we slowly see the defense, and, you know, I'm going to be giving you guys little snippets of what I can tell from the medical testimony. It's all eyes are on this case, you know, not only because this is, you know, this could transform how police departments, you know, approach restraints, approach people in their custody, approach people in medical, having medical conditions, but it also, you know, looks at how police departments are going to be supported by their local officials. 1-877 Dr. Dolly, don't go away.
Yeah. The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90 days applies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Fallen Capitol Hill police officer Billy Evans, who died after a Nation of Islam supporter rammed his car into a barricade, is lying in honor at the U.S. Capitol. Evans, an 18-year veteran of the force, will become just the fourth Capitol police officer ever to lie in honor. The FDA and CDC are recommending an immediate pause in the distribution of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine due to concerns about rare blood clots. The FDA's Peter Marks saying there are no such concerns with the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines.
There have been over 180 million doses of these vaccines administered, and at this time, we've not found any reports of cerebral vein sinus thrombosis combined with thrombocytopenia.
The prosecution is resting its case against former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. He's accused of killing George Floyd. USA Radio News. Protests in Japan after officials make an announcement regarding Fukushima nuclear power plant.
The government of Japan says it will begin to release water from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant into the Pacific Ocean in 2 years. The treated radioactive water has been accumulating at the plant since the 2011 earthquake that damaged the plant's reactors. Tokyo Electric Power, the operator of the plant, says its capacity to store the water will be full by next year. Japan's prime minister called the move the most realistic option for dealing with the water, saying it was a necessary step towards the decommissioning of the plant. The decision has been fiercely opposed by local fishermen and environmental groups. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
South Carolina is taking action to assure unaccompanied illegal immigrant children at the border don't get put into foster care. Governor Henry McMaster issuing an executive order to keep the government from making such moves. He says homes need to be prioritized for kids in the state. You're listening to USA Radio News.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We are back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So you guys are going to be hearing a little bit more about these breakthrough cases. So what are breakthrough COVID cases? Well, the COVID cases that broke through the vaccine. And there was a woman in Alaska, 50 years old. She caught the COVID virus for a second time after being vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson one-dose shot. Kim Akers is 50 years old, and she is one of a very few, a nice little group, little family, little club if you will, of breakthrough cases where those who have been fully vaccinated with COVID-19 still get COVID. She's from Palmer, and she shared a story on Facebook to encourage people to get vaccinated, keep wearing masks, and social distancing. Now, breakthrough cases have been reported around the United States and elsewhere. No vaccine, obviously, is 100%. So when people do hear of these cases, they're like, oh my gosh, oh, we don't, you know, we, the government was lying to us and we can't trust anybody. And okay, mind you, I'm not a huge fan of the government, you know, being 100% transparent about stuff. But look, I gotta call it like it is, guys. No vaccine is 100%. So when they say a vaccine is 95% effective, such as Moderna, 94.5% for Moderna, 95% for Pfizer, overall 72% for Johnson & Johnson, then, you know, we're going to hear of some cases. So Kim, 50 years old, recovered. Then she received her one-dose shot of the vaccine. She had gotten the COVID virus in December, recovered, then got vaccinated on March 5th. Then she went to Lake Louise with family and friends. This is according to the Anchorage Daily News. You got to visit Anchorage. Anchorage is so cool. Then, when she returned home, she got a splitting headache, similar to what she experienced when she had COVID last year, in December. Then she lost her taste and smell. She said, I didn't believe at the moment that it was it until I got home and thought about my symptoms and realized this headache is what I remember. Then I lost my taste and smell. She tested positive again. Suffered a constant headache for 3 days. She says she has now recovered, although her sense of smell and taste are yet to return. She said, just because you have had COVID or have been fully vaccinated does not mean you can't test positive. She's a high school administrator, and she told the Anchorage Daily News that she had decided to make her story public to show the importance of getting vaccinated. And again, her symptoms didn't put her in the hospital, so that's good. Could it have been the same COVID from December? Could her COVID have been reactivated? Well, if they look at her two samples, they could tell if it's the same strain genetically. I would suggest that. Because I do wonder how many of these second COVID cases are two completely separate COVID cases or the same case that reactivates. Now, in Reno, there was a person who that showed two genetically different strains at two different times he was affected by COVID. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with her and this as well. But, again, our goal is to keep people out of the hospital. So if the vaccine kept her out of the hospital, although she still had COVID symptoms, this is unfortunately par for the course. Now, in Michigan a week ago, 246 people had been reported getting infected besides being fully vaccinated. 11 had been hospitalized. 3 actually died. So Michigan has been grappling with some severe COVID cases to the degree that I start to wonder if we might be looking at a new strain or a new variant or some new mutations. So over 2 million Michigan residents have completed their COVID vaccines. I had thought that at least 5 million had received at least one dose as of a report yesterday. Of the 10 million residents, I had heard at least 5 million have received at least one dose. But Governor Whitmer is asking, obviously, for more vaccines as they're battling issues. But it just kind of reminds us that you could still be hospitalized. You could still, unfortunately, end up, you know, getting COVID, getting severe COVID. But it should be at a rate so much lower that it's not overwhelming the hospitals, not needing to shut down the country. Not that I thought the country should have ever been shut down. Anyway, so looking at global numbers, USA has come up with another 18,000 cases, 225 deaths in the last day or so. Their hospitalizations are ticking upward. We were at about 9150 yesterday. I think we now we're at about 9307. It even went up to 9321. So the hospitalizations are starting to uptick. India, they've had another 28,000 cases, 116 deaths. U.S., another 225 deaths. We see Turkey, another 59,000 cases. Italy, 13,000 cases. We're not getting a lot of numbers out of Brazil, except for seeing that they're kind of battling with some high numbers. But what we are starting to see and we need to discuss is the strain changing. So we've been looking at these mutations that have been created through, you know, ever since the pandemic. And we, right now, rather than the wild type, which was the original strain that was circulating in the United States, we are seeing in all 50 states, the predominant strain being the UK B117 strain. Okay, we knew that. It was predicted that that was going to be the main strain by spring. They predicted it right. That's a main strain we're seeing. But one of the strains we're worried about, a strain of concern, is the Brazilian COVID variant, the P1. And the P1 variant has already been found in 31 states, possibly more because it was now reported in Nevada. And so the CDC, let me see actually if this number has gone up. Hold on one second. Every time I hit it, it makes me change. No. Okay, so it hasn't gone up in the last 24 hours because I wrote a small article on this. But the P1 strain is the one that's coming out of Brazil. It was first detected, I think, in travelers from Brazil to Japan. And this Brazilian variant has multiple mutations that allows it to be more sticky, get into the cells easier, and allows it to infect younger people. So the three strains that are classified as of concern by the CDC and World Health Organization, and the most contagious and the most dominant ones, are the B117, which is the UK one, the B1351, which is the South African one, and then the P1, the Brazilian one. In terms of their ability to evade the vaccine, we think the UK strain is more susceptible than the P1 and the South African strain. And with 31 states already showing the P1 activity, you know, we start to wonder if maybe that's what we're seeing in Michigan. Now, also of concern are a couple California strains, the B1427 and the B1429. We're watching those strains also. We're not really hearing a lot about it because it's in California, but these are things that we do need to be concerned about. I go to California a lot. I'm very, very concerned. States showing some upticks are Florida, Illinois, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Arizona, Indiana, Virginia, South Carolina, Minnesota, Louisiana, Maryland, Iowa. So we are starting to see cases rise throughout, but not horribly to the same degree yet. We're hoping not. So what's the big deal about these mutations? Well, the N501Y mutation, which we saw with the UK variant and we see with others, allows the spike protein of the virus to attach to our ACE2 receptor easier to get into our host cell. But there's also the E484K mutation. The Brazilian strain, the UK strain, South African strain also are exhibiting this. This allows the spike proteins to look just different enough to evade some of our vaccines. So according to Brazilian researchers, this E484K mutation is a negatively charged amino acid, glutamic acid, substituted with a positively charged amino acid lysine. So having a negatively charged amino acid swapped with a positively charged one could make it different enough to, I guess, evade our vaccine. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOLLY.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So there's a meme going around social media where you see Dr. Fauci say if you wear 2 bathing suits, it could protect you from pee in the pool. Okay? Now, people just give Dr. Fauci a hard time, but I love that somebody is bringing up peeing in the pool. Because we're going to be coming into swim season pretty soon here. And 3 out of 5 5 people have admitted to going pee-pee in the pool. And we know that there's multiple medical issues that can happen from poo-poo in the pool, like cryptosporidium. But can anything good come out of the pool? So, even though we're going to be talking a lot about pool stuff in the coming weeks, we do have some good news. And there's a report out saying chlorinated swimming pool water can kill COVID virus in just 30 seconds, which means maybe we'll be able to have a pool party despite COVID. Now, these are London-based experts studying how chlorinated pool water could affect SARS-CoV-2. They concluded the risk of transmission during swimming is incredibly low. And Swim England Water Babies and Royal Life Saving Society aided the study. Well, I'm sure they did because they want to make sure people still, you know, use exercise and use the pool. So virologists from Imperial College London looked at the impact of varying concentrations of chlorine water on the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and the findings suggest that the risk of COVID-19 transmission via swimming pool water is incredibly low. They said, we performed these experiments at our high containment laboratories in London. Under these safe conditions, we're able to measure the ability of the virus to infect cells, which is the first step in its transmission. By mixing the virus with swimming pool water that was delivered to us by the Water Babies team, we could show that the virus does not survive in swimming pool water and it was no longer infectious. That's a pretty easy thing to do. Take some swimming water, pool water, mix it with the virus, look at it under whatever electron microscopy or however you need to evaluate virility of the virus, and if it's dead, it's dead. They said that coupled with the huge dilution factor of virus might find its way into a swimming pool from an infected person suggests the chance of contracting COVID-19 from swimming pool water is negligible. So they're saying if the virus, let's say, does get into the water and swims around, makes its way to a person who's drinking the water and is swimming with their mouth open, there's always somebody that does, they think they'll be fine. So the study, Professor Barclay and colleagues, found that a concentration of free chlorine of 1.5 milligrams per liter and a pH of between 7 to 7.2 reduced the infectivity of the SARS-CoV-2 by more than 1,000-fold in just a half a minute. Further tests using different chlorine concentrations and pH levels concluded that the chlorine in swimming pool water is more effective with a low pH level or more acidic. So they recommend a free chlorine concentration of 1.5 milligrams per liter and a pH level of 7. Now, how many of you guys' swimming pools are the proper pH? Do you really do that little thing? Or you should. Now, I see my husband wing it. I hate how he does that. It's like he's making spaghetti sauce. We're just going to throw this oregano, a pinch here, a pinch here, a pinch here. It'll all work out. I'm like, are you sure you don't want to measure it? So Water Babies are happy because now parents can start coming back to the pool. Now, you know, I have been very frustrated with the hype and the hysteria that some people have had and the limitations on certain groups and venues based on fear of COVID. And the kids have suffered some of the most, you know, out of this. And so if kids want to swim and be active, as we've seen weight gain skyrocket, as well as, you know, the whole, you know, depression and anxiety and the psychological, in fact, even immaturity, we're seeing regression in psychological growth from kids. You know, I am not as worried about COVID in the swimming pool. So if parents want their kids to swim, I'm okay with it. For now. Just don't pee in the pool. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. I have to tell people to quit wearing their contact lenses while they shower or swim. There was a report that acanthamoeba keratitis is an amoeba found in water that can actually infect the cornea. Now, the cornea is the clear window in front of the eye. And if you have contact lenses, it goes in front of the cornea to help allow refraction in case the shape of your eye causes for nearsightedness or farsightedness. Well, in some water pipes, amoebas can come into your shower, come into your sink, into the pool, And then they could burrow behind the contact lens through the eyeball. They say this amoeba could cause total vision loss within a matter of weeks. Now, some of you will say, my piping doesn't have an amoeba. Well, remember we had these cases of people using neti pots and saline flushes of their nose? And then they would get an amoeba. And I said, guys, don't use tap water to flush your sinuses. If you have to flush your sinuses, I don't usually recommend it, but if you have to flush your sinuses, I would say use sterile water. Don't, you know, these because the sinuses have a pathway to the brain. So, yes, if it can come through your pipes, then it can come, you know, we usually don't see it in colder parts of the world or the country. But there was an analysis of all incidents recorded in the past 18 years, and it showed 86% of patients had swam with their contact lenses in. Contact lenses could also create small abrasions of the eye. So when an amoeba does attach, it can kind of burrow its little tushy, right? And yeah, amoebas, I think, have tushies. Burrow its little tushy up into the crevices. So I'm not a fan of people showering, sleeping, swimming with contact lenses. I don't like it when people put in eye drops with contact lenses. I like contact lenses, but you need to be careful of what sort of access the cornea has and what sort of access other things could have. So acanthamoebas feed on bacteria, and they're present in all forms of water, lakes, oceans, rivers, swimming pools, hot tubs, and even showers. Can be found in tap water and soil. Usually these acanthamoebas are harmless to humans, as opposed to some of the amoebas that can go up into the sinuses and into the brain, like we saw with some of the neti pot patients. Corneal infections could cause blindness. So I need to double check that. I thought acanthamoebas can still do that as well. I need to double check that. All right. What else do we have in the news? Oh, my Lord. Governor McMaster has issued an executive order regarding migrant children and the state's foster care system. And the South Carolina governor does not want migrant children coming into South Carolina's foster care system. Now, many foster care systems are already overwhelmed. He says South Carolina's children must always be given first priority for placement into foster care, and the state's strained resources must be directed to addressing the needs of its children. Allowing the federal government to place the unlimited number of unaccompanied migrant children into our state's child welfare system for an unspecified length of time is an unacceptable proposition. We've been down this road with the federal government before, and the state usually ends up, quote, on the hook. Once a state enacts something, it's always hard to reverse. So, Governor Henry McMaster sent out the executive order. Apparently, 19,000 children have thus been detained at the border that we know of. South Carolina's Department of Social Services said federal authorities have contacted them at the beginning of April to see if there were any potential resources for the state for placement of unaccompanied migrant children. As we hear in California, they're actually reaching out to families saying, can you take more kids? Some of the families. So we'll see what happens, but we have obviously states concerned about, you know, what, how many families they have and what resources they have for people to take migrant children. 1-877-DR-KELLY.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.